episode 343.
I would agree, John. I know we're sitting real close to each other, but in it and on it are two different things. I'm guilty. I'm not saying I'm not guilty, and I've been trying to work on my business for a long time.
I can't sit still.
If you think I can't sit still, I have the same problem you do.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to Remarkable Results Radio. Listen to learn just one thing from today's episode on your journey to remarkable results. Welcome, aftermarketers, to episode 343 of Remarkable Results Radio, a first ever shop talk, an open mic format with three shop owners. I'm with John Constantine, Jim Fleshman, and Mike Schultz. In this episode, we talk about important key points for managing time, creating work systems, some e-myth talk, and some digital inspection tactics. Hey, Carm Capriato here to tell you that the Aftermarket's premier podcast is brought to you by Federal Mogul Motor Parts. Now, they are the reason you enjoy these great aftermarket interviews. You know the brands. You've embraced them for years. Moog, Velpro, Wagner Brake, Anco, Champion, Seal Power, FP Diesel, and more. They're the parts techs trust. Get more information on these brands and the great programs for you at fmmotorparts.com. Check out the new photo page on the website. Now, you may just find yourself or one of your friends there. When I'm at industry events, I'll be posting pics to this page. And if you have one that needs to be posted, email it to me. Find the pics at remarkableresults.biz/photos. Hey, are you listening to the podcast on your desktop? Would you like to go mobile? Well, you can subscribe to my very own Remarkable Results Radio app for mobile and smart devices. The podcast appears on over 12 subscription services, but it's even easier with my own app for iOS and Android. Go to your app store and search for Remarkable Results Radio. Install and never miss an episode. Also, find a list of all podcast mobile listening apps at remarkableresults.biz/app. The network of listeners builds in the aftermarket super learning highway, and I'm honored to make so many connections like new Facebook friends Dan Vasquez, Colleen LaPera, Scott Laster, Drew Hernandez, and Gerardo Vasquez, and my latest LinkedIn connections Charlie Caro, Bob Pera, and John McCrane. Get connected. remarkableresults.biz/social. So as I work to stretch the bounds and the strength of the podcast content library, here is a new endeavor or format called Shop Talk. As an offshoot of my participation in the local monthly Jasper Customer Roundtable, I decided to bring shop owners together in an open mic format. I wanted to create a networking feel like you get when you're in a 20 group. Listen to the results of this inaugural episode. I think you'll like it. With me is John Constantine from Bison Fleet Specialist in Buffalo, New York, Jim Fleshman from Automotive Alley in Arcade, New York, and Mike Schultz from Schultz's Auto and Truck Repair, Hamburg, New York. This was a wide open talk that covered four key subjects: time management, DVI, a little e-myth, and project delegation. This is not your typical you've heard this before episode. It's fresh and in your face, in a nice way. And you'll get a chance to listen to this coffee talk with three of your industry colleagues. There were times when I don't even think they realized this was being recorded. It just flowed and delivered like only Remarkable Results Radio can. Hey, find the talking points and extended bios on my guests at remarkableresults.biz/E343. Enjoy. Hey, welcome everyone. Carm Capriato here in our first ever on the road live roundtable. This all came about from a Jasper business group. I'm a member of that group here in Buffalo, New York. It's great. We get together. We have breakfast once a month. Thank you so much to Paul Henderson for putting it together for us. And I listened to all the great challenges and all the things that the team is talking about. So I just put it up to the group. Hey, who would like to come and just talk about it and try to repeat what goes on and help the industry, you know, just listen to about what your exciting challenges are and great opportunities. So this is our first ever live, if you will, roundtable from three business owners. And who's with me is John Constantine from Bison Fleet Specialists.
Morning, Carm.
And we're in John's conference room. Beautiful, beautiful place. Thank you so much for having us here, John. And Jim Fleshman is here from Automotive Alley.
Good morning, Carm.
And both of you guys have been on the show before. Jim, I did an episode with you and Shelley. Actually, I did that live at your place. And John, you were on Town Hall Academy on fleets. And I have to tell you, that was a great episode. If anyone wants to learn how to grow their business on the fleet side, and thanks for your contributions to that. And also with us is Mike Schultz from Schultz's Auto and Truck Repair in Hamburg, New York.
Morning, Carm.
Hey, Mike. So guys, look at this. Anything goes here. This is just going to be an open discussion. I may chime in a little bit, but I want this to be your show, and I want to talk about stuff, critically important things that I think we all in the industry struggle with. And time management is one of them. And John, how are you learning to deal with it? How have you as a business, how many years have you been in business? 30 some years?
21.
21 years. So has it always been a struggle?
Yes, it has been a struggle for the entire time. But the struggles are different as you grow and expand. There are different challenges to the business. And one thing that I'm having an issue with and have always had an issue, but always trying to get better at, is time management. And you had on one of your meetings at the breakfast with Jasper, you had brought up a book that you were reading, The One Thing. I've read The One Thing 4 times. I try to do the one thing every day, but you always get sidetracked. And I call them squirrel moments. And that's my biggest challenge, and that's what I need help with.
It's in your DNA, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's how you're built. How do you overcome that? I mean, do you have to delegate? Do you have systems in place?
There are systems in place. You try to delegate, and then it's the matter of following up with the delegation if the task were done. And that's my biggest challenge, because I'm sidetracked doing a million things and I need to follow up to see if certain things are done, because it will be days later before I remember. And sometimes those items need to be addressed that day. The ball gets dropped. The ball should not get dropped. We have enough people here, but that's my biggest challenge.
So John, when you're trying to organize yourself, I mean, what are you doing to try to keep everything together? I mean, are you using technology? Are you using paper? I mean, how are you tracking or trying to hold people accountable?
Well, for the digital man here, you stick'ems. Nice little 2x2 stick'ems. If you look at my desk,
what's a stick'em?
They're covered with sticky
notes.
That
would be a post-it note, right?
Post-its. So, and I know that's something you don't like. People have trying to get me to go digital, but everything I do, when I think of something, I grab a stick'em, post-it note, write it on there, put it on my desk.
Yeah, I am an electronic guy. I am a digital guy, but I look at the sticky note is in one place. You walk away from your desk, now you don't have the sticky note. So if you put it on your phone, it's in your pocket. You got the digital notes or sticky notes for technology. Just something that I'm constantly text messaging or emailing myself as a different way of trying to remind myself, because I might not be sitting in front of the desk or might not be sitting in front of my computer at that time. So I don't get that reminder.
What do you transfer to your phone?
I use Google Docs. I also will send myself a text message, because you're constantly getting text messages or emails during the day. It's a lot easier to do a Google Doc than it is to do to send yourself an email. There's a lot more steps. There's a lot more clicking involved to send an email than there is, going into one Google Doc and just talking into your document and check that document throughout the day.
Then how do you take that text? Yes, your phone's on you. You're going about your day. You receive the text. How do you get what's on that text done when you're already doing something else? It's just a reminder, and I'm not fighting you. You're digital with my post-it stick'em notes. I'm at my desk often enough where I see the notes, and I make sure I position them right in front of me, where this is the one that I need to take care of first. So when you're out and about and you get your text, I just received this text. Okay, I need to do this. But you're over in Bumblink, Egypt somewhere, whether it's the far end of the shop or driving in your car. How do you get it? That's just a reminder. My phone for the calendar. I do Google Calendar. I get notifications all day long. Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll remember that. And I X it off. What I do with that when I X them off the calendar is I go back to the day before and pull up everything for that day. Did I get this done? Because every day I have a list of things that I want to have done. But I'm lucky if we get one done because you're going in 15 different directions.
Let me stop for a minute and say, is all of these Post-it notes yours to do? Or are you really reminding yourself of what you delegated?
Reminding myself for items for myself and also people in the business.
I can't help but think that there's a digital answer here. If you all looked at John's face, you had a grimace because I think you're the kind of individual that wants to see it always in front of you. You want to be able
until it's done.
Yeah, you want.
And when it's done,
you pull.
I ball it up, goes in the garbage under my desk.
And you're proud. You threw one out.
That's one off my list. And sometimes the Post-its have two and maybe three things I do good, and then I throw it out. But that's a sense of accomplishment. Grab that stick and ball it up. Throw it out.
On my end, I'm a big Google advocate in regards to their tools and all the items that they have out there to make you more efficient, or at least help make you more efficient. To make the sticky note, you have to be in front of your desk, correct?
6 o'clock every morning.
Yep. So if you're not at your desk, how do you make the sticky note? Where's the reminder? So
I have my phone
on your hand,
as you do everywhere you go, and I go into my calendar and I make sure I put it there. And if I don't put it on my calendar, I will forget.
Yep. No, I agree.
I will forget. So that's when I don't have my stickums.
So the Google, using Google Docs and or Google Calendars, as long as it's set up right, everybody that's on your computers, that if they're logged into that account, can see. So as my Google Docs right now, we're sitting here with Mike, you, Carm, myself. If I made notes in this at the office right now, Shelly could hop on and see all of those notes quickly. And I didn't send any email. It's literally...
because you're sharing a document.
Yeah, the document's on my phone, and it's on every computer at the shop right now.
I love what you're suggesting to John, but I don't think that would ever work for him, because I think he needs to see that. You need to have a list. You need to move priorities around. Now, there's a bunch of software out there, and just let me drop a name or two, John, and I'm not telling you to do it, but I think it's for the value of the audience. Wunderlist is an incredible piece of software that you can have multiple lists. You can have a checkbox. You can assign dates and times, and you could move things around. Process Street, great piece of software that literally creates a process. If you had a to-do list on a Monday, and you could create your Monday to-do list and have all, you can have subcategories. It's a great tool. And if you had, say, a shop manager, you could have a shop manager task list in Process Street. And the other one is Trello. And Trello is a really cool. It's actually boards. You have Trello boards, and you Trello. I'll put these links in the show notes page for our audience. But and then there's Basecamp. There's a million other pieces of software. Some of them are free. Some of them cost a lot of money.
Have you used any of these?
I've used all of them. Actually, the first three that I just gave you, I actually use.
Still.
I think one of the big parts of tasking, and you cannot do it all yourself, right, is assigning responsibilities and holding people accountable.
Absolutely.
I mean, to me, John, you
got a lot going on.
Yeah, I respect what you're doing. I mean, you've got some great new things going on inside your company, and you're in an overwhelming mode right now. And you're really asking your people to kind of kick it up a notch with you. What, 20 extra, 30 extra percent while you're at 115, and you want them just to kick it up a notch to help?
And we all have that mentality of nobody cares as much as we do. You know, nobody wants it or knows how bad you have it. In our minds.
Yeah, but we can't say that.
Correct.
They may, but they don't have the desire that we have as shop owners to get it done. They're on that bus, and they're going with you down the road. They are all in 100%, but it's just that desire to make this whole thing work, I think is missing. And how do you it's like your children. How do you instill in the people that desire and that drive that we have? All of my people here, they're on board. They get it, but they don't have that drive or that sense of urgency.
Is it the drive, the urgency, or is it the bandwidth? They just don't have the time in their schedule. You're making the time, John. So here it is. You've got 5-6 key people that help you run your business. A big, big operation. You've got this new division you're putting up. Oh, my God. It's amazing to hear what you're doing. And you've got this burden all upon yourself. You got to have 4 or 5 of those people step up and do a couple of things for you. And you need to hold them accountable for a date and a time. So many planning stages that I've learned over the years doesn't require put it up on the to-do list. You put it up on the to-do list, you make an assignment of who's responsible for it and a date that it's due. You have to be the person who holds them accountable because you're going to review every date due.
Now, with these programs that you mentioned, do they have notifications? Like when someone sends a text, you get a notification.
I don't know because I've only used it individually myself. I haven't added a team to it.
I'm talking with Anthony Frohwein, a technical product specialist with Federal Mogul Motor Parts. What are the texts saying about your visit?
Every single time that I set up a training, I try to position the van inside the shop. You know, you're part of their house at that point. Whenever you set aside that time, you tell them that you're coming in, you're providing a lunch, and you're really bringing something of meat and value to the table. Once they get a taste of it, really, by the time you're done, they're asking, when can you come back?
When can you come back? Or, hey, what else you got in your bag of tricks?
Exactly. Exactly.
So the greatest outcome of your visit to a professional shop
is just to really make a difference in their everyday procedures to maximize the premium end of the product that's being installed. But ultimately, for me being a next shop owner as well, is to maximize their profitability in installing the part right the first time and having a happy customer. I always say a happy customer is like a happy wife. Happy wife, happy life. Same thing goes with the customer.
I've heard that before. So you take a Wagner OEX pad and you put it into the hands of a technician. What happens?
First off, they're floored with the cut design on the front end. They'd never seen a brake pad like this before. And then you start to break it down into why it's cut the way it is and how it's application or platform specific, how the backing plates are no longer painted, they're zinc coated, and that's for tolerance level, so that way you don't have buildup on the ears and fitting into the hardware. I mean, you get into all the little nuances that they've changed around with that brake pad on top of the performance end of it. I mean, it's phenomenal. And then once they physically try the brake pad, either on a customer's car or their own vehicle, I've heard nothing but rave reviews about the brake pad.
Federal Mogul Motor Parts' Garage Gurus is your go-to source for the vehicle training, technology, and answers you need to keep your next job on track. On site, online, or on demand, the gurus are here to help keep your business and your career on the road to success. Visit fmgarageguru.com.
Mike, you've been kind of quiet here, not on purpose, but you just recently moved to a new facility. You know, what was your to-do list that looked like to move that?
There was a lot to do. It was overwhelming. There was just so much to do between the move, and we renovated the office, waiting room, more wiring, everything like that. There was just, it was hectic. A lot of late nights. Thank God my employees were more than willing to help. They worked late hours, weekends, came in to paint. And thankfully, I have good people in my life that I could trust to do the renovations in the office. It's still hectic. We moved in there in March, and there's still stuff to put away, organize. It's a constant growing process.
Did you live off of yellow pads? Did you live off of sticky notes?
I suffer from the same thing John does in a way. I guess I'm in between John and Jim. I use Google calendars a lot. Now that we're moved in, I have a whiteboard in my office that I'll write stuff on because I walk past it constantly. If somebody, we need something for the shop or whatever it be, they write it on the whiteboard. My advisor, on the other hand, might be John's daughter because we have a pile of sticky notes and she loves sticky notes. And it's great though. It is because she puts them right on my computer monitor. It's like, call this person, whatever. So it works great. We have a combination, I guess, of everything.
Do have stone wheels, just so that
you I don't want you to think that we don't have sticky notes. We have sticky notes. And we do have paper, John. Okay?
Just paper so doesn't know exist.
Okay? We do have paper, but
I don't know about you guys,
we try to limit it.
I do use systems. But every once in a while, John, Jim, Mike, I get into this mode where I just don't want to sign on and move things around and click here. And you know what? Right now, in my office in front of my computer, I've probably got a dozen sticky notes that have to either be entered up or I'm going to get them done before I ever put them in my system.
We're from a touching paper writing environment. That's where we grew up from. The younger.
That's my school.
Yeah, nice. Right.
The younger youth, everyone is not using the paper. I mean, I'm pushing myself towards the technology and using it, trying to utilize it to save myself some time and or make us more organized and more efficient. Still, I'm making lists. I don't want anybody to think that we're not using paper. That is still the case. We still have some, but we try to limit it.
Let's move into the accountability piece. No matter what it is, if it's your list, Jim, or if you asked one of the guys, do some research on this piece of software or this piece of equipment that we need to have. Is it a difficult thing today to get people to do what you ask them to do?
Yes. I will give somebody something to do, and it doesn't get done. I end up doing it myself because I just...
There's a warning sign. Right.
Yeah, you can't do that.
I know, and it's same as when my son works for me, and I was trying to teach him how to do stuff. And it's just me being me, I end up doing it because I can't... I don't have the patience.
I would love to work for you.
I would love to work for you. Exactly.
Can I
get a check?
Give me a job. I dare you. Give me a job.
I'm better than I used to be, but... It's taken a lot of time. I mean, till the move came, I worked in the shop constantly. I try to stay out of the shop now. I try to do what I'm supposed to do as a business owner so the shop can run like it's supposed to.
We all try that.
Right.
We all try that.
But I'm trying to make people more accountable, but they don't have the skin in the game that we do as owners.
Well, but you got to get them to have it.
Well, I understand that.
What we see constantly is, let's say my guys might come up to me and go, hey, what do you think of this? Tell me what's your solution. Tell me how you're going to fix the problem. And they'll tell you how they're going to fix the problem. And then you would say, why isn't it done? Go do it. Instilling that confidence, they're sometimes in certain situations or lack of confidence, or they're going, well, what would Jim do in this situation, or John or Mike or whoever's in charge, what would they do? Go do it. Make it happen. We'll deal with the aftermath. They know what your core values are. They know what good is and they know what bad is. And they get confused when there's a area of, boy, this is out of the normal. What do you think I should do? Tell me what you're going to do and go do it. That's try to push that all the time on the guys.
Something I learned a long time ago, I gave someone a project and I followed up on the project and I said, good, but I would do this, this, and this, and I would change whatever. It was a display maybe we were building or doing. 3 months later, I'd say, hey, guys, build a display. The season has changed. And I go up and I say, this should have gone here. This should have gone here. No one wants to do the project. Okay. Again, in your early, this is going back maybe 30 years. And what really hit me was I have to accept what they did.
Yep.
Not change it. Not tell them it wasn't any good, but offer a suggestion next time.
Yes.
Think about doing this. Do you understand why? You have to, if you don't give the why, they'll never do it, never get it done.
Here, you got the job done. It is completed. If we did it in this manner, this is what would have changed in the outcome. And I explain that to my guys. We have discussions quite often while we're doing these jobs. Hey, it looks great. Everything looks great. Customer's happy. What would you change if you did this again? Well, I'd probably do this. Or, well, what if you tried it this way? Oh, I didn't see it that way. We only see things in a certain amount of ways. And once
got your blinders.
Yeah. And once you open those blinders up, or you step back and you look and you go, oh, I got to give them the reins. You got to let them screw up. You know, it's no different than your parents saying, hey, he's got a hammer in his hand. Well, okay, he's got a hammer in his hand. Let him smash his fingers up a little bit, and he's going to realize that the hammer shouldn't be swung at your hand. So it's very similar in our business that we have to allow our people, we have to allow our people to make these decisions. And is there going to be consequences in regards to something didn't get repaired correctly and or?
But you need to interrupt that.
Yes,
I
would agree.
A $500 mistake is okay, but a $10,000 mistake isn't.
Yeah, 100%. Absolutely. So, and we've all been at, I don't think there's any listeners out there that would say, oh, that's never happened to me. Well, I would probably beg to differ. It happens.
Well, you know, wisdom is, I mean, you can make mistakes over and over again. There's a level of stupidity there to constantly have that being recreated. But by the time you made that mistake once, you've learned from that wisdom. It goes back to the culture of the business and people's willingness to take risks. You're there to support them, but you're also there to guide them. If you're looking for someone to be just like you and do the project exactly like you, then they'll never, ever.
It's trying to hunt for a unicorn.
You need to get it done, and it needs to get done in the way that you know that they'll do it, John. Really, if you assign a project to Bob, you know that Bob's going to do it Bob's way.
And I think in a fault to us that, you know, many business owners are very detail oriented and or critical of themselves. As our employees look at that, there it makes them very apprehensive to make decisions going, I don't want them to be upset. This isn't going to be good enough. Well, it is good enough. It has to be good enough.
But you have to learn to accept what, exactly. You know, you have perfection in your mind. If you don't see it, you still need to accept it. And then if you didn't give a good why up front, then you have to accept part. So many problems are your problems.
Yeah, my guys call me anal because I'm always striving for what the customer would expect. And what the customer expects is quality. They're spending money. What did I spend my money on? So I strive and try to teach that to my guys. And you talk about giving them the whys. Gary, here's why I asked you to do it this way. Can you please change it to make it? Because put yourself in the customer's position. They walk up to this and look at it. Would you pay for it out of your pocket? If you did this work, walked in your house, would you pay for it? No.
Yeah, you almost want to start by giving them the outcome. Here's what I want as an outcome. Here's where you're standing. Here's the outcome. However you get there, figure it out. We know in our head the path that should be taken, as long as they knew what you're looking for at the end. What the end result is, I want to have this vehicle done, the engine compartment cleaned up and detailed. And how they did it, and you have in your head, oh, Jesus, it could be a 2-hour job, and it took them 6. Then at the end of that, you go, is it really done? Yes, it looks good. It's done. It's complete. You're happy as an owner. But then you have that.
6 hours.
Exactly. Not at the time frame. So then you have that conversation of going, hey, tell me how it took 6 hours. Walk me through your process. Exactly. That decompressing of that job.
Being a good leader and a delegator, it's not easy.
The whole process that you have to learn from stuff like that. Like you said, you have it in your mind how you want it done. And that's the reason we hire people, is to do stuff we can't do.
And a lot of people can't see inside our mind.
It's an unfortunate fact.
See, that's what I was going to say, is how do you get across to Carm, here's what I want you to do. Here's the way I want to do it, without having a three ring binder of 100 pages
of processes and procedures.
It's sharing the vision. And sooner or later,
Every job.
But at a point, they learn who you are and they know what you expect from them. So you don't have to guide them every step of the way once they learn
your expectations
and what you expect out of them. Yeah. I mean, they should see, if they've spent some time with you, what your vision is. They see your vision for your business.
John, your top leadership inside your company, when you assign a task, do they proceed with John's frame of mind And how would you rate the completion? Would you rate him 90 plus that they get it done according the world, according to John?
No. I would say 50.
Is it, are you the problem?
Probably.
I know that was a pretty tough question to ask.
Being where we come from, all three of us have been in there working. We know what's expected. I'm trying to. It's been very difficult to step back to let other people run the ship or steer the ship. But from time to time, I have to interject on different things that I see as, why wasn't this done? Why wasn't it done this way? The customer, and it's always the customer. I've said it a number of times, but it's what the customer is expecting of you. So I'm giving you this task. You know why I'm giving you this task, but yet it's still not getting completed. So we go back to what we mentioned earlier, accountability.
Yeah.
You know, how do I hammer the accountability? You can't threaten, I'm going to fire you all the time and have them sitting on the edge of their seats every time John calls me in the office with the lights off and it's dark in his office. Yeah, shut the door behind you. We don't want them to feel uncomfortable. And I try to, little by little, when that happens, is try to interject a little something. And it's not negative, just as a positive reinforcement, as you mentioned before about your displays. Next time, hey, why don't we try this? Can you please do this? And it's always thank you and please with your people. But each time, you know, how long does that process take for someone to get it who's been with you for so long? They're coming along. They're doing a great job. I don't write work orders anymore, and I don't on purpose. We'd be out of business if I wrote work orders. That's why I don't write work orders. But there's still a lot of opportunities being lost. But how long do they have to be with you before they know? I don't know everything. I don't want to know everything.
You know, it almost seems like you're living too much in the daily minutiae of the business. And you're, you know, the old story is, I'm in the office and I'm working on my business, not in it. But I almost think you're working in it.
I would agree, John. I know we're sitting real close to each other, but in it and on it are two different things. I'm guilty. I'm not saying I'm not guilty. And I've been trying to work on my business for a long time. And I
can't sit still.
If you think I can't sit still, I have the same problem you do.
You don't have to sit still, but to work on your business, it's not an office job that you want or that you have.
I was delegated to my position of sitting in my office trying to run this business. Yeah. I'd rather be out there working underneath the hood, yeah, knowing that I can do 10 cars. Not that I'm better than anyone else, but I can do 10 cars to your 2 cars. And it's going to be done right, and it's not going to come back.
I interviewed Kevin Eckler just recently, and he was just on the Town Hall Academy this past week. We were talking about technician training, and Kevin admitted that he needed to hire a service writer to run, and his wife's in the office, and he's the lead guy, if you will, the shop manager, because he couldn't get out of his system the fact that he wanted to be the tech guy, the problem solver. He wanted to be in the bays. So maybe you just need to hire somebody to run your business for you.
As they say, how do you get free time, John? You pay for it.
Jim, doing digital vehicle inspections?
Yes. Yeah, we have we use RO Writer, and we have been since January 1, we implemented full digital, and we went paperless with our RO Touch format. And that's the RO Touch is part of RO Writer, so it's integrated into the SMS system. So,
are you paperless, Mike?
Yes, we use Bolt-On. The one thing I've struggled with is getting my guys to take enough pictures.
Then how about you reward them?
We're working on stuff like that.
I'm a digital picture. I'm a picture freak. So our guys take hundreds of pictures a day.
Why does it work for you and not for Mike? And the reason I said reward, John looked at me kind of weird, is you have to change the behavior. And sometimes it could be a fun thing to get. Hey, listen, if we get 100 pictures this month, guys, I'm buying lunch. That simple.
Yeah, I mean, maybe you can guide me a little.
When we have a new hire, it's not easy to convert them to take pictures because most people have never taken pictures of cars and car parts and movies and tie rod ends. And you don't utilize the tool that's in front of you, that camera, the phone, the tablet, the whatever device you're using. If it's a digital camera, people don't look at it in that manner. They look at it as, I got to take pictures of people and cool things that I'm doing. And we use it as a tool. And to try to have a new person understand that, we've literally taken them out into the break room and or the office and showed them exactly how we utilize the picture to sell work. You can't sell what you can't see. So that's what's most important. When they see the customer's face, when they see the face of the customer and they go, holy cow, nobody's ever done this to me before. I never saw a picture like that of my own vehicle. And that drives home to the technicians going, now I understand the importance of the picture. So when you see the reaction on somebody's face, and that's why we're technicians. We like to fix stuff. We're problem solvers. We want to see that happy smile on that customer that goes, wow, this is incredible. That makes you feel good inside. There's part of a reward. Like what Carm was saying, how are they getting rewarded? There is sort of a reward with that. But if you don't have a picture, how are you selling work? I don't understand.
Show and tell.
You're transparent. You're not lying to the customer.
In this industry, we have such a problem with our reputation as an automotive repair facility. Everybody worries about or they wait for the phone call. You know, oh, I'm sitting here waiting for the phone call that it's going to be, you know, 10 times worse than I thought. Well, you don't have to sit and wait for the call. You get the email. It comes in a checklist because pictures are there. Or, you know, if you don't have a digital inspection, you can use Google Photos or any other photo program and send them a link to show these people videos or pictures. There's all sorts of technology out there, but I think it's not easy to get pushed onto it. You have to be that driving force. Cause I can tell you, I constantly, if I'm walking through the shop, hey, do you got pictures of that? Yep. Did you take pictures of this? Do you have to do that? You don't have to. I've instilled it upon myself because I always want the perfect picture or video.
I agree. We actually incorporated a thing called a groove glove for checking tires. And my one tech was fighting me on it. He just was complaining. I'm like, tell you what, everyone that you don't scan, you lose $1 an hour. He hasn't missed one. I hated to have to do it that way.
But it goes back to the theme of why. You know, you explained to the tech why it was important to have the picture, because it really helps close the sale, gives the customer that trust factor with you, as you said, Mike, transparency. And every once in a while, those why moments to people downstream, if you will, you need to do this because here upstream, this is why we need it. That, I think, is the critical piece that's missing when we say to people, all right, we have this now, you have to take pictures. And you never explain how it fits.
I can tell you that, I have mentioned this to John, so you can be my witness. I said to John, you're going to have classes on how to take pictures. And he's like, what? So the reason why I say it in that manner is because you may take pictures throughout your whole life, but you don't take good pictures of car parts. You don't take good pictures of dark lighting. That is where you're going to play around and play around and play around. We constantly do that with our guys. I go, hey, look at this. Here's a great picture. Look at this one. This one isn't so good. What can we do to make that a better picture? So turn the flash off. Anytime you're taking these, turn the flash off, because here's what the flash does. And so you go, I'm a car guy. What am I talking about having a class on taking pictures? I guess my background in education is trying to make sure that we can get the right pictures, and we do take good pictures, and we have a lot of comments of, wow, those are great pictures. What are you using? Well, we're using our phones.
It's a great idea. Have a picture class. I love it. John, you were going to chime in. You were in disagreement with.
It's not easy to have a class on how to take a picture if you don't know how to take a picture, right, John?
We're only now just starting to go digital. Jim's been helping me out quite a bit. We haven't implemented it full bore yet. I started it up front with my service writers taking pictures and videos and uploading them to Google and then taking them from Google and inputting it into our writer for that customer's file. That's been working great. They have it up front. Now I'm trying to move that to the back, but I've had to, as Jim mentioned, what the heck happened here? You're walking around. Look at the videos moving all over. You have to hold it more steady.
So you actually do agree that they need to be coached on how to take a good picture?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, that's a great idea. We
2 weeks ago, my service writer went out there and took pictures and video of the inside. It was a gloomy day, very dark. What's this going to do for me? Absolutely nothing.
But I took the picture. I took the picture just like you wanted.
So we got some light. We went back out and took some pictures. And for that same unit, that same RV, that night, it was broken into. Two TVs were stolen. It was a 2017. Now, it didn't help me catch him. My video cameras here didn't help me catch the culprit, but it let the police see the interior and how the person went through the interior of that RV. And if I didn't have the good video and pictures without the light.
If you're not looking at the pictures that are taken, you can't critique and or try to make them better.
You know, the whole thing I love about what you guys are saying is it's about quality. If you're putting out quality work and you're minimizing comebacks and you have a good QC process, pictures should have the same intensity of quality.
If you send a picture to a customer, they can't tell what it is. What's the sense in sending it?
Yeah, no, I tell my guys that I don't want a picture of a part. I want multiple pictures of the same part because the first one you were shaking, the second one's blurry, the third one has more light, and you could pick out of those four. So if you're taking a picture of a bulge in a tire, take three. Delete is easy, not create. There is no create button if you never took it. So it's an easy way to say it in that manner.
That's what I like about with Bolt-On when you do the digital inspection. They actually have a report card. When you get done with your inspection, it'll tell you, you need more pictures of this. You need more pictures of this. You know, you're missing this. You did, you know, and it's, you can set it up. I haven't got to that point yet. They can't finish their inspection until they have the amount of pictures they're supposed to have. That's something I need to do. I need more training.
I love it because you're probably teaching lighting. Are you hanging?
I mean, we have a very well lit facility, and we're fortunate, and that Shelley allowed that to happen. So
thank you, Shelley.
But some places don't have good lighting, and I will say that all of our technicians have a flashlight in their pocket, and I've gone out in the shop and said, "Watch what I use this light for." And the light has a hot spot because it's an LED light. It has a hot spot, meaning if you're in the pictures, there's that one intense spot the camera's going to focus on. But we'll shine it over here just to get a little extra light instead of using a flash. It makes a better picture. So kind of like what you were just saying, Carm, is the, you know, let's bring over the special lighting and to get rid of the shadows.
You bring up such a great point.
But the time that we do that with is well worth it because it went from a courtesy inspection to now the return on your investment of this checklist and or these pictures. So you're investing 10, 15 minutes to sell 8 hours of labor.
Do it right. The message is do it right.
Done.
Or don't do it at all.
And then the counter effect is people, when the vehicle is done, they see everything you did. So the transparency is so apparent. There's no questions. Was that really bad? Well, there shouldn't ever be a question. Was it really bad? Yes, it's bad. Yeah, here
I
you go.
See the part.
It's done. Yeah. Well, instead of us showing parts, we're showing videos and pictures. Very seldom does somebody say, "I want the part anymore." In a lot of places, they do still ask for, "I want my old parts back." Okay, I'll go out in a dumpster and get them. But here's the video. Once they see the video, oh, never mind. Then yeah, that is really bad.
We're good.
They don't know what good or bad is. They just know that this part does not look normal. And we have a good video and a bad video, or a before and after. Here's your bad tie rod end. Here's a good tie rod end.
The actual one on the car.
Yeah.
That was fixed, repaired. This little meeting went beyond my expectations. It was great. it went exactly where I wanted it to go. Jim Fleshman, Automotive Alley, Mike Schultz from Schultz's Auto and Truck Repair, and John Constantine from Bison Fleet Specialists. Thanks for your incredibly honest and transparent talk today.
As usual, Carm, thank you very much for what you do. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Carm.
Thanks, Carm. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, John Constantine, Jim Fleshman, and Mike Schultz for kicking off Shop Talk. I loved how giving you were to share insights and help all ships rise. Find the key talking points and additional bio information on John, Jim, and Mike at remarkableresults.biz/E343. Tell a friend about the Aftermarket's premier podcast and this new format, Shop Talk, and share the incredible content library for all aftermarket professionals. Reach out to me, Carm at remarkableresults.biz. Hey, talk soon.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.